a man wide open. Touchdown.
Touchdown for Jacksonville.
Touchdown, Jags!
You're listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, guys, welcome to another edition of Down by the Bank, hosted by the Blue Wire Network. This is Derek.
What's up, y'all? It's JK3.
Corey is MIA tonight. We know he stays busy. The prof stays busy, as we like to call him. So
you've got Down by the Bank after dark.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, but, you know, we're coming off that big victory against the Bills. We're not going to elaborate on that too much. We're just going to, you know, say, hey, 3-2, we've played the Bills tough, time to move on. We got a big game coming up this week against, you know, Minshew Mania Colts, which even putting those words together sounds weird since, you know, the mania still is here and he still has a lot of people here that, you know, love the time he was here with the team.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to mention that. And we're also going to talk about, you know, some quarterly awards. Yeah, I know it's only five games, so it's technically, you know, the whole quarter thing is off in the NFL with 17. But we're still going to do it anyway. Name some favorite plays, some favorite players. So, that's we're going to have a good show.
Yeah, no, I think as far as the Buffalo things, you know, shout out to the guys Rock Pile again. But, you know, we're going to act like some winners. We're going to act like we've been here before. we can't rest our laurels on a regular season victory. Of course, they're going off about, you know, how the Jags had the home field advantage and the advantage of being in London, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to put it to bed. Just act like some winners. And it feels good to be on to Indy, right? It feels good to be 3-2. Feels good also to get the love from like some of the Dolphins fans and some of the people that like really are rooting for their team in the AFC East right now. And whenever the Jags can, you know, be a spoiler, I love it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for the Buffalo Bills fans. You know, I get it, the travel, the turf, and, you know, had we played that game in Buffalo, I guess it would have been different and all these other things and excuses and whiny complaints. But, hey, you lost, so get over it. But, no, we're going to get into some quarterly awards, man, just some quarterly MVPs on both sides of the ball. We each got our own, you know, individuals that we love, that we think is having a great season. What do you think? Start defense first? Defense?
Yeah, no, I think we can start into the defense, and I think the defense is really, if you would have looked back into the into training camp, you know, when we all went to camp and, you know, everyone was, again, you know, super hyped about the addition of, you know, Ridley, super hyped seeing you know, the team come back together from an offensive side. The defense was kind of just there, the defense. I think we really assumed and really thought that as long as the defense can keep us in the games, you know, we were going to score. Or if the defense didn't, you know, give up a crazy amount, the Jags, you know, had this high power offense and we were going to, you know, just actually just be able to run up the score. And it's at least in the first five games, you know, it seems like the defense has been, you know, what's been winning us the games, right? The defense has been, you know, has been getting off the field on third downs. The defense has been, you know, playing strong, creating turnovers, you know, creating interceptions and fumbles. Josh Allen is having an outstanding year as well. Oluokun is playing out of his mind as always. So I think there needs to get, you know, a lot of credit for what Mike Caldwell and this defense has done. And that year two of continuity that they've, you know, brought in. And the defense, you know, has been one of my favorite pieces, man. I think that when they get back to Jacksonville this week against the Colts, I think, you know, now they've got a bunch of, or, you know, going on, you know, five games under their belt right now. I look for this defense to be a little bit more hungrier and play a little bit, you know, loose, you know, these next couple games. What do you think?
Not only loose, hungry, but remember, we're getting pieces back, okay? We're getting Hamilton back.
Good point.
We're getting, I'm having a brain fart here, but Smoot back.
Yeah.
So we're getting some pieces back, and I think that they're tired of the talk, okay? Mm-hmm. Tired of the disrespect, you know? not the Jags won the game, but the team that we played lost the game. You know, no respect whatsoever. So it's time, and they're not going to give it to us. We got to go take it. And then after we take it, they're going to, you know, shove it down their throats. And so there's a lot of, you know, on the national side, which we've never gotten the respect. This defense has been responding, and they've been playing out of their mind. But for starters, I'm going to go with my quarterly MVP so far for Aluakon. Man, let me tell you what. Let me explain something to you. You know how hard it is to have a tackle in a National Football League game? It's very hard.
Okay? Yeah.
He's got 52 of them in five games. Okay, 52.
It's insane.
I don't care if they're assists or eight, you know, 18 of them are assists. I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
52 tackles in five games with 12 left to go.
Yeah.
So you do the math. The crazy you end up part, like 160 tackles.
The crazy part about that is the next person, like closest to him as far as like having solo tackles, I think is Rayshon. And the Jags haven't given up a lot of like crazy like long plays. He's just being that in the box enforcer safety that's just coming downhill angry and just, you know, getting great tackles. I think that's one thing too that we talked about. The tackling of the team has done hasn't been very many missed tackles. Hasn't been very many, you know, broken tackles. Only one I could think of, you know, poor Chad Muma being one on one with Bijan Robinson out in that's just out in no man's land. But they've been wrapping up, especially like this past Sunday when Buffalo went for two. I think Darius Williams was there, you know, out of nowhere, just shot out like a cannon and was just there and making the tackle. So they've been playing some outstanding D and you know, been playing some really good hard-nosed football.
Outstanding. And then the secondary, too. You know, if I had to give it to a unit, it would definitely be the secondary. Now, I get it. You know, Josh Allen has six sacks. We understand that. However, when you check some of the stats on our guys on the back end, you got picks, pat downs. You know, Rayshon's coming off the edge. Cisco laying the boom. Like, we got some hitters back there. And they're holding on. And I'll say that it wasn't a unexpected surprise because we knew the ability was there. We're just glad that the, you know, now this time that the hard work that they've been putting in is really starting to pay off, because they're also got some continuity build up as far as the familiarity when they're back there relying on each other and communicating. You can clearly see that they're in sync, and that's just one of the greatest things to see.
Yeah, I think that's where my, you know, and we're talking about the defense. That's where my MVP goes for the quarter. It's going to be Darius Williams, man. I mean, the guy's just been balling. I mean, seven passes, you know, defended. He's got two picks, and they've all been some. He should have three, you know, but we're not going to talk about that. He should have three right now. But, you know, the pick that he had on Sunday against Stephon. Stephon is a premier. He's a premier receiver in the NFL. You go up and high point a ball with Stephon Diggs, and, you know, be able to come down with it and wrestle it away and then have the, you know, the awareness to get up and return it. You know, that's big. He had a great pick against Atlanta as well. But then I think the most important piece, too, is, you know, the two forced fumbles that he's caused as well. He's everywhere, and I think that's one of the names that I think they're going away from Tyson Campbell, because Tyson Campbell has gotten the reputation now of being a very good, you know, cornerback. He is, you know, ascending. He's definitely made some strides from when he was a rookie to where he is now. So of course, on the defensive side of the ball, I think it's, you know, outstanding. But Darius Williams for sure. If I could give a 1B, it would be you know, Andre Cisco, because to me, I feel like he's bringing back that old school, you know, NFL safety, that old school, like, you're going to catch it, but you're going to get popped, or don't even throw it this way. So the defense as a whole has been playing very well. And, you know, to wrap a bow up on it, like you mentioned, having, you know, Smoot Hamilton come back, they'll figure out a way to work Devin Lloyd in, you know, as well after he's recovering from the thumb surgery, you know, so hopefully. But, you know, it'd be really exciting to see this team, you know, be at full strength, like really be at full strength with Smoot, be at full strength with Hamilton. Roy Robinson Harrison has been playing outstanding. Of course, Josh Allen has been playing, you know, out of his mind as well with the six sacks, you know, also. So I'm just super excited to see what they what they're going for the next quarter and what we and, you know, some of the talent that we'll come up against. You know, here, I think we'll get a really good, really good look at what they've done. But I mean, coming up against Buffalo, you know, one of the more higher power offenses in the NFL. You know, super happy that they've held them, you know, for the low scoring and the low yard as they did, you know, for within that game.
Yeah, no, that was definitely an opportunity to really, you know, show themselves, and they did. And now as we, you know, move to the offensive side of the ball, Trevor,
hands down. Real deal.
Real deal. I don't care what you guys say. As far as, you know, oh, is he, the national guy's not that good? People picking on him. I'm like, whatever.
He's there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how do you feel about the – okay, so you as you're being the quarterback, again, you know, a starting quarterback in the NFL, one of 32 that to have the job in the world, the fumbles on Sunday and, you know, those things like that, it's really just – like, we're pretty close from this being a Trevor lossless this game. Like, real talk. Like, if you fumble the ball twice in the red zone, right? So if the defense doesn't step up like they have, like, I mean, we're a hairline away from, is Trevor Lawrence the guy still? Is he there? Like, how do you feel about some of the turnovers and how you feel about, you know, at least the way that he played on Sunday? Because he did have, you know, two crucial turnovers. That could have easily ran up the score against Buffalo. So, like, what do you feel about those going forward?
I feel like that there's been times where he's pressing because he's trying to make something happen. I feel like there's, you know, it's been that. Also, you know, I've been voicing my opinion about play calling since day one. I don't really like Press's play calling style because he didn't really until Buffalo put us in rhythm. You know, who knows who's really calling plays, who doesn't. No one's going to, you know, they're not going to leak that, and Doug's going to keep everyone guessing if he's getting involved or how much he's getting involved. But I just don't like the delivery and rhythm of what they've been doing offensively. So I think it's kind of 50-50. But at the end of the day, it's going to fall on Trevor because he has to maintain a certain play style, and that play style starts with not turning the ball over. But I think that when you look at some of his turnovers, the fumbles, again, probably trying to do too much, holding on to it a bit too long. The timing hasn't been there because the offensive line play is not that great. We understand that. So there's a lot of things. I just think he needs to just, you know, continue to follow up with what he did the last 2 weeks and continue in that same rhythm. Make those small, you know, changes to his drop back, his timing. And he's going to be just fine. At the end of the day, he's not a true turnover machine. Mm-hmm. But in the NFL, when you're trying to, you know, be on the come, you know, up and up, and teams know that. They, you know, a lot of teams still look at us as just a little old stepbrother, little old brother, annoying little gnat, and they want to try to step on us so you get their best. Whereas we're not used to that in years past. So he's got to elevate his game with theirs, and he's capable, more than capable of doing that. So I'm not too worried about it at all.
Yeah, no, I think with him continuing to elevate his game, you know, that's like a great segue, because that's what I was going to say, is that, you know, he's not playing bad. He's playing great. Like, don't get me wrong. He's playing great and just continuing to ascend. But that's what I want to see. I want to see the continuation of the ascension, right? Because as you look within the next quarter and then coming up as well, there's going to be, you know, some teams are going to get hot. And I mean, you're coming up against, you know, your 49ers, you're coming up against your Ravens, you're coming up against the Bengals, you know, all these other teams in the later half. And so I would like for him to see continue that ascension and not plateau, because hopefully if the Jags are playing meaningful football in, you know, January, you know, December, January, we're going to need to see that ascension. Like, we're going to need to continue to see that. And I hope that we see that going forward. The two turnovers, the two fumbles that he had on Sunday, You know, I attribute that to, you know, doing too much. You got to hold on to the ball, but that's a part of the ascension, right? That's a part of him continuing to go up. And you think about it, if they don't fumble the ball there, at worst they're going to have is a field goal. Like McManus, that's a chip shot, you know, for him right there, you know, within the 10-yard or within the red zone. So if they can continue to hold on and he can continue to have the ascension, I know the receivers have had a couple bad, couple bad games with drops. You know, I know Ridley has dropped a crazy touchdown against Houston. I think with this game too, this past week, if he throws a little bit more air under that ball to Ingram, that's another touchdown as well. So seeing him continue to make those the plays that we need, and you know, and make the gotta haves, I think we'll continue to do pretty good. But I mean, transitioning to as far as like MVP. On the offensive side, this is a wild card for me. I know you could easily go for your Trevors or your Travis Etienne's and things like that. But, man, I love this just emergence of Evan Ingram. I mean, he's probably one of my favorite players to watch on offense right now, man. Some of the routes that he runs and the mismatches. And I really feel like, you know, I thought last year it was, you know, quote unquote, like a prove it year. And, you know, but this year it's just – like, he's the real deal, man. Like, I mean, as far as some of the tight ends and as far as some of his numbers and things like that, he's, like, up there with some of those premier tight ends that people, you know, look for and set that standard for being a tight end. So I'm super happy, man, to see him play. If I had a 1B, Zay, I think he's very underrated right now. I think a lot of teams forget about him. And for him to have that catch on Sunday was just like, man, he's back. And I think the offense missed him when he was out with his sprain. So those last two games, I think the offense kind of suffered a little bit. But if we can get Zay and Evan Ingram, I don't want to cheat. So I'll just say if we can get Ingram rolling and keep him going, the offense does roll very well through him, and he's the motor that's kind of getting him going. Frees up a lot of stuff with ETN and frees up a lot of things as well, for Ridley and Ridley and Kirk. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Ingram. What about you?
Yeah. No, you know, obviously, you know, mine is Trevor, but Ingram, and we'll roll back here to a time that we don't like to think about, Trevor's rookie year, when he really only had Marvin Jones Jr. to throw the ball to because everybody else was running the wrong route. That's why Marvin Jones was getting, you know, all the targets, but look at him now. He's got three exceptional wide receivers that are great route runners. A tight end that's probably, you know, top 10 route runner for tight ends in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, some could put him even top 5 route runners for tight ends in the league. Not towards the top, obviously, but more towards the middle. To have those type of weapons and to think about how creative you could get, and this is why it's super frustrating with the play calling. Some of the things we've been doing, you know, in the red zone, we don't, you know, they line up in a bunch formations in the red zone. And I'm like, forget all that, man. Put the three receivers on one side, put Ingram on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if they put a corner out there, he's too little.
Yeah.
If they put a linebacker out there, they might be too slow, or safety.
Yeah.
Let them make the call, and then you attack on however they line up and choose the weakest link. I feel like we don't do that. And when you've got that type of player, we should be taking full advantage of it. Hey, if they split Ingram out, they're going to go to him. So try and stop him.
Yeah.
I dare you to try and stop him. So that's kind of where I hope that Press Taylor grows and continues to do that and really put our weapons on showcase, because I feel like we have, between the three receivers and Ingram, We have top 5 pass catchers in the league.
Hands yeah. down. No,
Kirk,
I mean.
And we're forgetting about Kirk. We're forgetting about Kirk, and he leads the team in catches.
Bro. But Ingram as well, too. I mean, 173 yards after the catch. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like it's ridiculous, man. So, I mean, and he's been one of the ones they target as well on first down, he's responsible for the first downs as well. I think he's got 12 converted first downs. You know, Ridley's got 16. So Ridley's been, you know, kind of one of the players that we go to, you know, for that conversion. But I mean, I'm telling you, man, I love Ingram. I think it's good. I think the offense is just continuing to come into their own right now. And I think these next quarter of the of the season for us is really going to, you know, really give us an opportunity to put some of those weapons in display and really hit that stride before we go into the bye.
Exactly. Exactly. I think so too. All right. So we're done with basically the first quarter of the season. Schedule coming up. Obviously, we know we have the Colts this week at home, and then go on the road, taking on the road to New Orleans for the Thursday night.
New Orleans?
I think I think JK3 might be making an appearance to New Orleans. Is that still on?
Yeah, that is still on, man. Going to New Orleans on Thursday night football. So yeah, that'll be great. Gotta try again to meet up with like the Bold City Brigade and those guys and gals out there. I think the last time that I saw, I think they had like 400 fans going to the game. So
always do a fantastic job. That
group, insane, you know. Insane. Yeah, but do. Yeah, no, I think it's gonna be great, man.
And then we got let's see who's next. Then we got Steelers. At Pittsburgh. That's they're well coached. So just because they're not playing, you know, to their potential, you know, they're having some down years from years past. You still don't want to sleep on them.
Dude, that's as close as a rivalry game that you're going to get, like a true, like, quote unquote, like rivalry game that you're going to get. Like, I know that, you know, we hate playing the AFC opponents, and I know we hate playing the Titans, but I think the Steelers, man, I think like that is just a rivalry game that I cannot wait to watch. Like, if there's one game that I'm just super like the next quarter, I mean, of course, you know, seeing the Niners and stuff like that, or the Niners and everything, but the Steelers, man, that game right there, I had that one circled, when the schedule dropped, because that one's always a good, just good old fashioned game. And it's plus it's up there in October, probably be a little brisk too. So yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, no, and then, you know, a well-deserved rest. We finally get our bye, and, you know, couldn't come at a better time, because the game after the bye, and where I know we're jumping ahead, you know, some, but the game after the bye, in my opinion, is the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Okay, I know there's, Philly fans might have something to say about that. I think one of JK3, I think you got a good buddy that's a massive Philly fan. And there's no offense to them, because I think they're really good.
Yeah.
I do. But I swear, the Niners, man, like, you look at them and you're just like, oh my goodness, like, they could do anything.
Yeah.
They can choose how they want to beat you, and that's what they're going to do. So, but yeah, we're jumping ahead. The Indianapolis Colts coming to town. Zach Moss, Jonathan Taylor, Minshew Mania. And believe it or not, I'm pretty sure the Colts have like a top 10 NFL defense.
Yeah.
Are they like playing well on the defensive side of the ball?
They're playing good.
Yeah, this ain't gonna be no cakewalk. Okay.
Yeah.
They better come to play.
I mean, and looking at it from like a standings, you know, both teams are 3-2 right now. The Colts have definitely won some games with a little bit of adversity. But I think with this game, since it's being an AFC South game, you've got to get hyped up for this one. You got to take care of business. This is a tone setting game. This is one of the games where we really can't afford to come out flat, you know, especially since it is a divisional opponent. I think with Minshew, like everybody knows as well, he's not a slouch. You know, he's not a scrub. He's gonna go out. He's gonna be decisive. He's gonna game manage, and he's gonna will to a victory. You know, Minshew is. You know, you can't just look at him like, oh, we've got just Gardner Minshew. He's sneaky good. I think the defense, again, has to come out, set the tone. I think the offense is going to be another great consistency test for the offense. And I think also this is going to be a mental check for the team as well. You know, they've been gone the last 10 days over in London, 2-0 there on the road, got their stride. Now they're coming back here just as they get their mojo back. You know, are they going to be able to, continue that momentum? You know, how are they going to continue to, you know, thrive in, you know, the change of scenery, change of locker rooms? You know, they haven't really been in the same consistent place, you know, for the last like 14, 15 days. So now getting back here, adjusting, you know, making sure they're hydrating because the weather here, again, on Sunday, it's going to be nice, but it's still going to be a little bit, you know, humidity. But then also, you know, getting the mental toughness to be able to go through after two long weeks on the quote unquote road. And now you've got a formidable opponent that you've already played, you know, within week one. So I think it's good, man, that they play the Colts. I think they got to get off fast, though.
Yeah, no. Minshew was lost his last two starts. Obviously, they were in Philly. I feel like, and maybe, no, wait a minute. Did he start one game for the Colts already this season? Did he start a game for them?
Maybe. To be honest, I don't know because Richardson just got hurt. So, but Richardson's been the starter all year.
Yeah, he's been a starter all year, but I feel like yeah, Minshew, yeah, he did start against Baltimore and Houston. So Minshew's been playing a lot. Yeah, Houston and Baltimore, and then Richardson came back and got hurt again. I might not have that correct, so forgive me. But bottom line is, he can play. He's not going to be afraid. He understands his role. He's not trying to win the job, okay? He's there to win football games and be the backup when called upon. And we need to, you know, bring that to a halt. You know, if we're able to get Devon Hamilton back, that'll be great because Indianapolis, they start with the running game. Zach Moss has been tearing it up. And, of course, you know, we have to play against Jonathan Taylor, which if he gets going, if he, you know, gets in some game shape this week and really starts to assert himself, then that he's going to be a very big problem to deal with. So this isn't going to be one of those things where, you know, hey, we're coming off high, you know, we won the last two. No, we better come to play or else the Colts, the horsemen from Indy, they'll take it to us.
Yeah, and that's one game you don't want. I mean, at least we've gotten, I think, another positive too, that we've gotten the series, you know, out of the way pretty early in the season, and then we've got the bye week as well, you know, pretty early, or you know, the bye week coming up a little bit later than what we would like, you know, as well. So I think that, you know, we can go ahead and get, you know, get this one out of the way with Indy. You know, depending on, I mean, this game right now, it's going to be for first place in the AFC South. Both teams are 3-2 right now. You know, Indy definitely has the opportunity to really kind of come in here, you know, on Sunday and play well. But I think it's going to be up to the Jags to really, you know, take that leap, take that mental leap, take that that just next level team, you know, leap and really be able to try to, you know, pull out a W here on Sunday, man. It'd be great to, you know, go into Thursday night football with a little steam ahead against a good Saints team as well. But I would love for them, man, to, you know, just go full steam ahead right now. Really go ahead and continue with what they did the last 2 weeks in London. And then also, you know, hopefully that can lead into to a Saints team that's winnable. But all of these games, the next three games, in my opinion, are very winnable for the Jags. Very
winnable and very critical.
Yeah.
Because we don't need to fall into a rut where we're like 4-4 and fighting. And, you know, we got the Titans later on in the year in the division. We need to go ahead and get these next three and really assert ourselves within the division. You got Houston making all kind of noise. We owe them a butt kicking. So let's you know, take these next three before we go into the bye and see what we can do. And let the league know and let yourselves know in the locker room that you're a force to be reckoned with. And there's nothing anybody's going to do to stop it. You know, we're built for this. Trevor, you've been waiting for this. You know, you got drafted. You were number one. Like now is the time to elevate your game and let's take it to another level. I get it. Everybody wanted them to have, like, you know, 20 TDs and no picks and already have thrown for 3,000 yards by now. But it doesn't work out like that sometimes. But when you, at the end of the day, we're 3-2, and we got three games coming up that you could really assert yourself and come out on the top half, maybe 6-2. But
yeah,
and we've said these things in the past, and they've dropped all three. So We have, and you know, hopefully we don't do that. So let's you know, swing the other way and put our foot on this division and have them come catch us.
Which, yeah.
You know, play with a lot of pressure, and we just, you know, stomp them too. So, but that's all I got. Anything else you got? I know the tailgate's always live, man. I think I heard you broke a watermelon, and you may have made a miniature wrestling ring and an elbow drop. I don't know. I just hear these things. I don't know.
Nah, man. No, it is this weekend, dude. It's my daughter's birthday. Is actually on the game, so my daughter turns 8. So I'm getting some immense pressure to stay home and celebrate. So I don't know if I'm gonna succumb to it yet. I think the silver lining is that I'm going to New Orleans, so that may help sway things a little bit. But you know, every now and then, you know, we get with having a kid that has a birthday in October, it comes up every now and then. So we'll see. I'm not saying no yet, but I don't know,
man. Well, you know, for me, it's just the anniversary, and you know, happy wife, happy life.
Oh, hey, see, so you know, see, what time it is.
Hey, she's coming with like, don't get it twisted, y'all. Now I'm gonna be at the rest of the games, but I'm the dummy that decided to get married during football season, and you know, the day of our wedding was a Saturday, and she let people, you know, she was like, yeah, everybody have football games on their phones or whatever. You know, I don't care. So she's down for a good time sports wise, but man, sometimes like when the day of, it's like, come on now, you know,
yeah,
what's up, where are we going? So we're gonna, exactly, gonna do that. And hey man, you just, you know, we'll go out and get a dub, and let's take care of business and move on to the next week. All right, man. Well, hey, we appreciate everyone for listening. Hey, don't forget to shoot us a review, and always you know, X at us, or that sounds so weird,
man. Yeah, X at us.
You know, shoot us a tweet. Let us know your thoughts. JK3 always does a great job interacting with people on Twitter. He's our social media guru. So, as always, we appreciate the listens, and we're right there with you. Go Jags. And, hey, everybody take care, and we'll see you after Sunday.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.